On Ways and Means, we're here today to do three bills. The first one we're going to do is House Bill 2862 relating to commercial fisheries. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2862, and Ms. James, could you give us LFO's recommendation on the bill?
This bill creates the Commercial Fisheries Permit Buyback Fund and directs the Fish and Wildlife to adopt a fee schedule on commercial fishing permits to repay funds advanced by the federal government to buy back ground fish permits with the purpose of reducing the fishing fleet. We are proposing that you adopt the -A6 amendment, which establishes a sunset on the program in January 2006 and would transfer any unused fees that were collected to the general fund at that time.
Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayes.
As my understanding that half of these monies will be federal funds and half will be other funds in the form of fees, can we deposit the federal half in the general fund?
Ms. James, do you have the answer to that?
No, I don't.
Could you repeat the question?
You need a lifeline.
We could use one, yes.
As look, Terry's on the edge of his seat.
Yeah. Terry wants to answer that one.
Terry Thompson,
what it
state
will become.
Former state representative. In the case of the buyout, the money will be held. Come from the Department of Commerce, and the permits will be held by the Department of Commerce. It's only in the return of the money for the repayment that'll be held by the state. So, does that answer your question?
No, it says at the end of the program, when it's done, any unused funds will be put in the general fund. Will any of the unused funds involve federal funds? And if they do, can they be put in our general fund?
No, they won't. There shouldn't be any federal funds in that buyback fund in the state at all. The federal funds will be held by the Department of Commerce to buy out the permits.
Okay.
And so the federal funds will never get mixed with the state funds. The only money would be there would be the money that came from the fishermen.
And in fact, Madam Chairman, the licensees, as the licensees repay the federal government monies,
yes,
those are dollars from individual private citizens, and then and those dollars could go to the general fund or any other place.
The
federal money will not go to the
general. I didn't understand it was 100% loan, Madam Chair. I thought it was a matching thing where the federal government would loan 100%, but we only had to pay back half, and half of it was forgiven.
That's what it suggested. Representative Thompson, would you care to comment on that?
No, the actual money will be, the original purchase will be federal funds. It's not in the form of a loan. But we will repay it from the fishing industry from the sale of our fish.
Why are we repaying a grant?
It is partly to stimulate, to make sure the money comes forward, and because the industry becomes the recipient of the benefits that arrived from there being less boats available.
Madam Chair, is the $50 million from the federal government a loan or a grant?
It depends on how the wording is in the bill, and you ask me a question. I don't believe it's a grant. I believe it's a loan.
It is a loan,
Senator,
Madam Chairman. If you look at the LFO...
Can you add to this?
Yeah. First, I want everybody to understand that the Senate bill has been introduced in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
And I would be glad to give
That's
you a
it.
Copy of that.
Senator Ron Wyden has introduced a bill. It has not had a hearing in committee yet. It has not made its way through, so we have no idea what evolution it may take as it goes through. But the proposal has, Representative Hayden was right, it has the money in it, and half of it is repaid.
Right.
And that's, there is some interest in Wyden's office in trying to get the whole thing as a grant. But, and that one meeting that I listened in on, there was the discussion about what might the interest rate be on the half that we would repay. So the federal government would be expecting a repayment of some portion of it, probably. And if they do, they would have a certain percentage. I don't expect there ever to be anything left at the end of this program, assuming the program happens, because we're going to know before you start charging fishermen what the costs are going to be. You're going to know which boats they have agreed to buy out and what the cost is for all of those, and then they will determine what the advantage is to each group of fishermen, and then they will determine the fee based on the advantage to those groups, and they'll make it cover just the cost. So, I mean, I suppose there could be a couple of bucks left, but there shouldn't really be anything left.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, we're in work session.
We are in work session, Senator.
I would move that we amend House Bill 2862 with the A6 amendment.
We have a motion to move the A6 amendments into House Bill 2862. Is there discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Madam Chairman, I would like to move the House Bill 2862B as amended to the, I guess it goes to the floor, ma'am, with the due pass recommendation.
We have a motion to move 2862B as amended to full with the due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Carriers, Representative Krieger, would you carry this on the House floor? Senator Dukes, if you would be so kind to do the honors in full and on the Senate floor.
Sure.
Close the work session on House Bill 2862. Open a public hearing on House Bill 2180. And Ms. James, could you give us the recap on 2180?
2180 directs the Fish and Wildlife Commission to use a portion of money they receive from the general fund or other eligible funds for predatory animal, rabbit, rodent control fund. The bill sets a minimum of $40,000 per year funding for this program. The Predatory Animal, Rabbit, and Rodent Control Fund is used by Fish and Wildlife and the Department of Agriculture to control and destroy predators, rabbits, rodents, and other things that are destructive to agriculture, crops, products, and activities. Predatory animals under this program include coyotes, rabbits, rodents, birds, and just recently feral swine. Game birds and those that are determined in need of protection, such as the trumpeter swans, are excluded from the definition of predatory animal. Federal laws pertaining to the use of hunting and angling fees revenues were recently changed to prohibit their use to manage wildlife damage if the state is not already managing that species. Generally, the animals defined for this bill are not managed by Fish and Wildlife. Therefore, we no longer conform to Oregon statute, no longer conforms to federal law, potentially jeopardizing up to $10 million per biennium in federal funds. The bill resolves that problem and also increases the amount of funds that can be used for the program. Dollar amounts allocated by statute were last revised in 1959. LFO recommends changing the minimum dollars used for the control program from $40,000 to $60,000 per year. And the Dash A2 amendment takes care of that for you. Shift of dollars from other funds to general funds is already anticipated in the agency's budget bill, so no appropriation or expenditure limitation is needed.
Questions or comments on Ms. James' presentation? Senator Dukes.
Exactly what are we going to do with these rodents? For $40,000.
They use it to control the population, usually by destroying them.
Maybe it's just late in the session, Madam Chair. I bought cats.
Feral cats?
No.
Oh,
but that'd probably work too. I mean, I'm sure there must be a program.
There is an existing program that has been in place for many, many years that basically most of this money ends up down on the county level.
And it does rodents and rabbits too?
It could.
Whatever.
What?
If you called the county to say you have predators and you want someone to come out and trap them, this program.
They tell me they didn't have enough staff, trust me.
They probably did. But in theory, that's what this program would pay for.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Krieger.
We have talked about increasing funds for predators across the board with a lot of things. Interesting to know it hasn't been changed since, what, 59?
59.
I'd like to see the cost of an angling license in 1959 and see what the percentage of change has been from that to now and why we aren't doing the same with dollars percentage for predator control.
If we did that, we'd have the funds we need.
I guess I just didn't realize bunnies will be predators.
I think that depends on when they eat your alfalfa,
they are.
Or,
actually,
they multiply, they come with lots of.
Representative Hayden.
Are we discussing the amendment, Madam Chair?
We certainly could.
Madam Chair, I agree with Representative Krieger. I think 40,000 is abysmally low, and 60,000 is not much better. The cougar population, the predatory control, is exploding exponentially. A few years ago, they were killing 20 or 30 or 40 a year, and now 200. Bears are stripping some of the small woodlot owners hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. I think we need, and the rabbits and rodents aren't much behind. I think we need a little more money in this. And, Madam Chair, I would like to change, further amend the dash two amendments to $80,000.
The what I would draw to the committee's attention in the language of the bill is that the dollar amount that's set is the least amount that can be put in, that the amount needs to be above this amount. So we're not setting the ceiling, we're setting the floor. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, we have the entire budget yet to address, so if need be, we can address it when we approve the budget for the department.
Well, Madam Chair, I would propose that the amendment level is the appropriate time to address it, if indeed you're going to, and I think a floor of $80,000 is appropriate, Madam Chair.
I agree, Madam Chair.
Madam Chairman, the purpose of the bill before us is not to set the amount for predatory control. The purpose of the bill before us is to segregate dollars earmarked for the control of predatory wabbits, wodents, and other small animals that are not under the management of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So the purpose of this bill is to segregate dollars. We are, in fact, also setting a $60,000 flooring. But the real purpose of this bill is simply to segregate funds so that the department doesn't lose $10 million of predatory control for large wild animals.
That's very true. This is not the appropriation for predator control. This is a bill that simply fixes an error it corrects for a ruling that's come out of the federal level so that we can protect the revenue source from the federal government. And it raises the floor on where the least amount of money that can be put into this. But when the budget bill comes through that deals with this, that will be the time to discuss the appropriation level.
Madam Chairman?
All due respect, Madam Chair, after Senator Farrelly speaks, I would like to make a motion.
Senator Dukes.
Go right ahead. You're
Madam
right
Chairman, the issues that really need scrutiny, and I'm hearing just as a member of the committee, I'm hearing some support for increases in predator control and animal damage control, neither of which this bill addresses. I mean, I understand people are in support of additional appropriations for animal damage control. That is not in this bill. And predator control, that is also not in this bill. And so I guess I would just suggest to my colleagues that we support the chairman in this action, but that she hears the committee's interest in increasing animal damage control appropriations and predator control appropriations.
And I would underline that by saying that not only are your wish for higher funding being heard by me, but they echo my position.
Madam Chair, may I? Excuse me, Senator Dukes was before.
Yeah, I actually had a real question as opposed to my last one. What I'm hearing is we're not really doing this now. I mean, we're doing something out there, but we don't have the money attached to it, and now we're attaching money to it, and this is an agency that's having serious funding problems. So I just wondered if this money was coming from anything in particular, or Is something else going to go slip down the scale of priorities as this increases? Or?
I would submit to you that the time to have that discussion is when we do the OVFAW.
This is just giving them statutory authority to do it, although it does have a minimum minute.
Okay. Yeah, that this is basically a technical fix bill.
Okay, but it does have a minimum minute.
Okay. For Wabbits and Wodens.
Another.
Madam Chair.
Mises.
I appreciate all the soothing words. I really do. However, the ODFW
budget is under the surf breaking on a rock.
They are going to be looking for every penny. And whether this deals with rabbits or cougars, or isn't it true that cougars feed on rabbits? Aren't they somehow interlinked in the food chain? It would seem to me that in order to prevent this from slipping out of sight in an agency who has a tight budget, that it would do minimal damage to increase the floor to $80,000. That's a very small number in the big picture.
Representative Hayden, I would present to you the proposition that that would probably not have the impact that you're hoping it would have.
And why not, Madam Chair?
The what I would like to do is to move this bill the way that it was presented to us. And with that in mind, I would be open to accepting a motion to move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2180.
Madam Chair, I believe we're still in public hearing.
Oh, yes. We're now in work session.
Madam Chairman, I would like to move the Dash A2 amendments as drafted into House Bill 2180. So moved.
We have a motion on the table to move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 2180. Is there discussion on the motion?
Madam Chairman, in discussion on the motion, I would like to submit that I will support my colleagues' efforts to increase animal damage control and predatory control by meetings with the co-chairs or whatever other necessary and reasonable actions we can take.
And I would like to add that I very much appreciate the good senator's support on this, and that the issue of the need to increase funding in predator control is an extremely important issue to all of the members of this committee. I appreciate your support on the motion. Further discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair. Could you enlighten us as to why we have the A2 amendment?
The A2 amendments increase the floor amount over the amount that was in the bill that was sent to us from the Water and Environment Committee. So we've already stepped the floor up.
Why?
What? Because of the belief that this is an important area to fund. And we figured that increasing the funding from $40,000 to $60,000 was essentially a 50% increase in the floor, and that going above this at this time would not be a prudent fiscal move.
Madam Chairman, further, the floor is increased from $40,000 to $60,000 in any one year. So what we're doing in this action is appropriating $120,000 for animal damage control, specifically directed to rabbits, rodents, and feral chickens. Rabbits, swine. Rodents, and rabbits and rodents.
Thank you. And predatory animals. Were those hybrid wolves?
No. That's not in this bill.
Are you sure?
It's not in this bill.
The Wiley Coyote.
It's not a wolf bill.
The Wiley Coyote is here.
Aren't they a predatory animal?
They are, but predator control. These predatory animals, which are predatory only in that they eat crops, are also managed by Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the new federal law doesn't allow the. Anyway, so we got to segregate these animals out of that law, and we've increased the floor to $60,000 in any year. We're actually appropriating a total of $120,000 of this bill, potentially. Not $80,000, not $40,000, not $60,000. 120.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
A compromise proposal. Now, this is not $120,000. It is a minimum of $120,000.
Right.
It might be $782,000. How do we know? So, Madam Chair, without a budget note, without an amendment, but a simple comment in here reminding the agency that this is meant to be a floor and that additional funds would be appropriate if available. Would you accept that comment?
I would be willing to put a budget note in the ODFW budget that reflects
not
that.
A budget note, less than a budget note, a comment.
In the
fiscal analysis of proposed legislation.
I wouldn't have a problem doing that.
Madam Chair, I'll amend my motion to move the A2 amendments, which are to indicate a minimum appropriation of $60,000 per year.
There has been an amended motion on the table. Is there discussion on the amended motion? Is there objection to the amended motion? Without objection, the motion carries. Senator?
Madam Chairman, I would move House Bill 2180A engrossed as amended to the full ways and means of the Duke House.
We have a motion to move amended House Bill 2180 to full ways and means with the due pass. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Without objection, the motion is carried.
Carriers
in the Senate, Senator Ferrioli, would you carry this bill? On the House floor, Representative Krieger, would you carry the bill?
I ask questions about that.
And I will carry the bill in full.
Madam Chairman, vote explanation.
Vote explanation.
I reiterate, I am just so supportive of increased funds for animal damage control and predator control, and I'll work with any member of either body to increase those appropriations. We just need to see that done. It's very important.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the good senator's commitment to do that. I think if it's not prudently wise to raise the floor to $80,000 now, that would indicate to me there's no intention in the Ways and Means process through the co-chairs to accept any funding over that at this time, any funding over the $60,000 we just adopted. And I think that we'll get back to the question that we've been asking here, is how much do we need for appropriate predator control? So I think we'll have to address that further down the road.
I appreciate your comments. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2180, and we'll open a work session on House Bill 3334. Ms. James.
Okay, 3334 modifies the pilot program of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to purchase aquaculture products from private aquaculture facilities. The 1999 legislature enacted Senate Bill 834, creating a private program wherein Fish and Wildlife would purchase trout reared by private Oregon aquaculture facilities to stock trout ponds and reservoirs. The measure required that at least 10% of annual trout hatchery funds be allocated to fund the project. The bill was to sunset in June of 2004. This bill modifies the prior bill by repealing the sunset and increasing the amount used to purchase trout from private resources to 25%. The agency has had difficulty determining the amount of funds that should be invested in the pilot program, in part because their accounting system is not set up to allocate fixed expenditures in the hatchery program to fish produced. The amount of funding allocated to trout rearing and stocking has also been declining, in part because they don't have the money. What we are recommending is that the bill be amended to extend the sunset on the pilot program to 2006. That will allow more time to evaluate the outcomes of the program. The Dash 2 amendment achieves that goal without increasing the amount of funds that will be committed to the project. The co-chair's budget includes a budget note designating a minimum of $279,175 will be used to purchase trout from private facilities in 2103.
Questions on the LFO presentation?
Madam Chair, how much have we been spending previously to purchase
To purchase trout?
From private entities.
In 1997-99, we expended about $7 million on trout and salmon rearing. Of that, about $300,000, I believe. And that's part of the problem, is figuring out which is allocated and which isn't. No, I don't have 97-99. 99-01, they project spending about $300,000 on trout.
Okay, so, Madam Chair, I'm just trying to get a handle on if this pilot program says that, or the bill says that ODF&W has spent at least 25% of its annual trout hatchery funds on trout produced in private aquaculture facilities. Is $279,000 as a budget note? Is that the only amount of money that's set aside for the purchase?
May I clarify? The Dash 2 amendment also deletes the 25%. And by agreement with the parties, the 279 is slightly more than what we believe 10% of the funding will be.
Mr. Thompson, or former Representative Thompson, you're signed up to testify on the bill, and perhaps if you could come forward and enlighten the committee about the negotiating process that was undertaken between the legislative fiscal folks and the agency folks and the private hatchery folks to come up with this.
Thank you very much, former Representative Terry Thompson. Actually, this has been a very long negotiating process, and it's only with the good work of LFO and Kent Rocco, the committee staff, that's made this possible. What will come is this bill is basically, as you see now, is nothing more than the sunset will be extended because the department had trouble getting the program up and going, partly because of the discussion that you've just had. It is difficult for them to do. Coming with ODF&W's budget will be a budget note that will define several things, and I haven't seen the budget note, but I know the staff has worked hard on it, and with Representative Butler, who I believe is on his way here right now and is testifying across the hall, he has been involved in these negotiations and is actually the man who can give you the specific details. But what I understand, the number there will be just slightly more than 10%. And makes it a lot easier for the Department of Fish and Wildlife to manage it within their budget. And that's why they've gone to that instead of a poundage situation.
If I might interject, too, I have been very involved myself in the negotiations over this bill. And the reason that we are wanting to use a dollar number instead of a percentage number is that it's very difficult for the private hatcheries to react to a percentage number. There's no amount of money there or that can be translated into numbers of fish or pounds of fish. And so it facilitates the process of the hatcheries being able to gear up for this production if they actually have a dollar number there rather than some nebulous production-oriented number within ODF&W. And I think that is going to facilitate the process. We had a lot of discussion as we worked our way through this about the way that the agency went about administering the program in the first 2 years of the program, and have come to an understanding with the agency that the implementation of the contracts and the actual enactment of the contracts will be evolving in a lot more business-like way that's much friendlier to the hatcheries. We're going to put in place a program whereby, under the way that it's currently organized, the private hatcheries have to come up with a performance bond, and the agency ends up paying way out in front ahead of the time that they actually receive the fish. We're going to get rid of the performance bonding requirement and have the agency pay for the fish basically when they take delivery of them, which is going to make things a lot easier. We're also going to put a piece in there that if there is any scientific data gathering that that ODFW undertakes in terms of building their database on the trout program, that the private hatcheries will need to undertake that research, that data research finding component also in their contracts, so we don't end up with a hole in the information that we're gathering to support historical facts about what's going on with the trout run. I think that we've worked real hard with it. The agency has, and certainly Representative Butler has put in a lot of time on working the kinks out of reauthorizing this. And I think we've got in place a very good basis to proceed again, but it's a program that I think has huge potential, both for the private hatcheries and for the ODFW and the state of Oregon. And I know I, for one, am going to keep a close eye on how this develops, and I know Representative Butler is very interested in it, too.
Madam Chair, bottom line, are we spending more?
Same.
We spend the same amount of money now that we spent 2 years ago to buy private.
The instructions that we gave to our ABLE LFO staff was to find the number that keeps the production at the same level.
Madam Chairman, there's an issue here I think that all of us have been struggling with, and that is that the Department of Fish and Wildlife does not maintain a chart of accounts type accounting system that allows segregation of dedicated dollars and the tracking for accountability purposes of expenditures that have been ordered by the legislature or budget notes that have appropriated or earmarked dollars. And that in point of fact, we need to not leave this building without making sure that ODFW is on track to implement an accounting system that allows for chart of account type segregation, so that legislators and the public know that dollars that are appropriated are spent appropriately, dollars that are dedicated are spent to the dedicated purposes, and that the accountability factors that we've been demanding from the agency actually get implemented by the agency. So this is a beginning because there's a budget note with specificity and for a particular purpose.
Well, and I think that Representative Butler, when I finally do give him the opportunity to speak, will...
Oh, you want to do that.
I guess you do a good job.
Like the rest of us.
Went through an incredible process to try to find those numbers, and it was... I mean, considering that you are an accountant, it was kind of an interesting process. Let me give Representative Hayden an opportunity to comment, and then Representative Butler, I'd be glad to open it up
for you. Several questions, Madam Chair, and to the Chair, as the Chair had a good deal of input into this. It says the 1999 legislature enacted a bill which created a pilot project to purchase trout. Question one, were trout purchased before that? Question two, what is the criteria to get a contract? Can anybody that has a trout pond get a contract? And three, I thought I heard the administrator say the total budget was $7 million of biennium. Is that correct? And 10% of that would be more than $279,000.
Well, I believe that $7 million is the complete the total budget for all species of fish.
Not just trout, but also salmonoids, the rest of the salmonoids.
The rest of the...
But also salmon and steelhead.
Right. So the trout itself is something less, around $3
million. Yeah.
Okay, then the other question, how are the contracts awarded?
We have Mr. Roy Elliker from the department. Roy, would you come forward and talk to Representative Hayden about how the contracting part of the program works?
I thought so, but I never.
Morning, Representative, members of the committee. Chair Morgan, if I heard the question right, Representative Hayden, first of all, I don't believe that the department contracted with any private trout hatcheries prior to 99 for trout. I know we've contracted for other species, but I think trout, up till 99, we didn't go to the private hatcheries for that. I'm sorry, and that...
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you.
The other question related to what the process was for private hatcheries to become involved in the program.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, in this year's bidding process, and we already have put out the bids and are have just about ready to award the bid for 0103. Yes, all trout, in fact, we contacted, I think there's 16 private, maybe more than that, but I think there's 16 private trout farms in Oregon. And as a result of us getting these bids out late and some discussion back and forth between us and the trout producers regarding the deadlines, we extended the deadline for them to get their bids in by over 2 weeks, I believe. As a result, we got several more bids from trout producers, and these were bids and trout producers that had not before now got engaged in the process. We also have made some commitments, and that may in fact be in a budget note, that in the next bidding process, we'll do some additional steps to try and make the bidding process more user-friendly. The bidding process, though, we're pretty much locked into the various procedures on these kinds of bids through DAS, and they have very hard and fast rules regarding how these bids are going to be, how they come in and how they're put together. Again, we worked as best we could with the trout producers this year with the extension and helped them get their bids complete so at least they get into the process. Now, I think that's all I can say at this point, Madam
Did
Chair.
Did you have a follow-up? No. Representative Butler, you've been very patient.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Tom Butler from House District 60, and I just was noting of the people in the room that originally sponsored Senate Bill 834 in the last session. Senator Dukes was very much involved. Representative Thompson was involved, as was myself. I know that we had a great deal of support from Senator Farioli, so I think we recognize the majority of the people that were involved in helping us come forward with the privatization issues. The concern that House Bill 3334 brings forward was that we wanted to increase that percentage. It's my understanding that where you're at is that the percentage will stay at 10%. But that you will actually put in, as opposed to 10% of the production, you'll actually put in a dollar amount, and that brings the nebulous 10% of what should be involved, because it's been our experience that the private hatchery production has been actually able to produce more than, for the same dollar amount, has been able to produce more fish at the catchable sizes for 10% of the budget. And so what happens is that it brings us an actual dollar amount that we're able to count upon. And now by addressing the issue of the size of the contracts and bringing the sizes of the contracts so that small producers can be involved, the smaller producers of private hatchery and the smaller hatcheries and private producers in the state can participate. I might, by way of discussion, just mention that the 17 producers in the state, private hatchery producers who are certified and who have the various types of equipment and so forth to produce private trout production, are banding together to try and work out programs where they can actually make sure that they get the maximum amount of production and the maximum amount of deliverable fish to the state for the prices that are being bid upon. So I come today in full support of House Bill 3334 and the amendments. I would like to have had the experiment or the pilot program, which basically doesn't continue itself as a noted as a pilot program, just extends the sunset at this particular point. I'd like to have that extended for a period of time such that we would be able to give private industry every opportunity to fairly be able to exhibit what they can bring to the state in this regard, but also recognize that one of the most important things that we'll be able to do is to bring production in such a fashion that we will increase the number of licenses which anglers will be buying and thus increase the revenue. And that ultimately is one of the things that we really want to do. And I appreciate the opportunity to come to you to talk about 3334 today and acknowledge those people who have brought us to this particular point. It's not been an easy struggle, but it's been a struggle. And we're there, and I appreciate your continued patience with private industry as we bring forward a good product. You're getting about twice the bang for the buck with the private industry dollars, as the state has been able to produce, and we have the benefit of being able to do this within private industry, where we have private taxpayers paying taxes and paying property taxes in the counties and areas where they have these facilities as well.
The questions or comments for Representative Butler, Representative Hayden.
Representative Butler, $279,000 divided among 17 producers is $16,000. Some would get more, some would get less. I don't know much about private hatcheries. Do they have other sources of income? Do they sell to other outlets? How do they exist?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, members of the committee, certainly this is a biennial figure, and of the 17, there's only been one that has been of sufficient size that they could come in and bid late in these processes. One of the problems is that right now, we've just heard from Mr. Elliker that the bidding process is being streamlined. The bids for fish for June, July, August delivery have just come out within the last few months. Well, you can't raise trout under that kind of condition. You're going to have these out many, many, many months in advance. Certainly last fall was the deadline date for them, and those contracts weren't let last fall. So most of the hatcheries cannot raise the fish that are needed. There is one hatchery in the state which has, number one, a very sizable facility, and number two, water capacity that they can and temperature that they can grow fish a little bit faster. And finally, number three, they already produce fish for many other states and private concerns other than the state of Oregon. They have actually backed the state up. When we killed all of our production, unfortunately, in one particular hatchery, all of our trout production, this particular hatchery came forward and replaced at a very nominal cost to the state, basically neighbor-to-neighbor kind of a price, all of the production that was lost in one particular hatchery on an arrangement where the fishing opportunities in that, my understanding was in northeastern Oregon, the fishing opportunities in that northeastern Oregon hatchery that were produced there would not be diminished as a result of the loss of their production. So most of the 17 hatcheries would have, I don't want to mislead you in any way, shape, or form, most of them would have very little to do with the state's ODF&W. They don't want to deal with the ODF&W. Their experiences have been bad in the past. What we're trying to do is we're trying to bring more and more of them in through this association so that their experiences will be good and so that they will be willing to come to the table and help the state both with production and with science issues that are involving pesticides and chemicals and other kinds of things, as well as parasite control and water issues, environmental issues. So I believe that we will probably have a handful, maybe less than five producers produce during this next cycle. I would like to see all 17 of them come in and bid during the ensuing cycle so that we can show that private hatcheries are able to do this. But again, as Mr. Elliker has indicated, this is a brand new concept for the state and with regard to trout production.
Further questions for Representative Butler? Thank you very much.
Thank
Representative,
you very much.
And before you go, with your kind permission, I will assign you as the carrier in the full committee and on the floor.
That would be fine. Thank you.
Representative Nolan.
Madam Chair, Mr. Elker. One quick question.
Would you please come forward, Mr. Elker?
Not a problem.
Can I have a question? I have two.
Mr. Elker, I'm reviewing some of the information from the substantive committee's review of this, and in particular, bill in its original form. My question is, given the dash, proposed dash two amendment, what would you anticipate to be the likely outcome, particularly for the North McCallum hatchery?
Chair Morgan, Representative Nolan, members of the committee, and again, the department appreciates the opportunity to come forward and answer questions. Representative Nolan, to your question, there has been quite a bit of negotiation on the Dash 2 amendments as been put, as this committee has heard. It's my understanding at this point that that the Dash 2 amendments would not mean any closure of any of our hatchery facilities at this point.
If I might add, Representative Nolan, we are essentially continuing the program at the level that it was at in the biennium that we're in right now, that just is shortly going to end. So the impact on the hatchery system shouldn't be any different at all.
Thank
Representative, or Senator Dukes had a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Roy, have we seen any cost savings at the state level from engaging this program? I mean, are we using less fish food? Did we lay off an employee someplace? Are we, and we're buying fish that we had been producing. Have our electric costs go down because we don't have to, you know, eye up these little
Chair Morgan, Senator Dukes, I'm not quite sure that we have identified any particular cost savings at this point. And frankly, as you know, Senator, because you're as well schooled in our hatchery system as probably anybody here in the room or in the building, frankly, with your experience, almost all of our hatcheries, all of our state hatcheries are mixed facilities. In other words, we at all of them we raise not just trout, but salmon, steelhead, and some of them we don't raise trout, but all of them we have mixed variety of fish. So really, the cost savings for us, frankly, come down to fish food, because if the hatchery is a working hatchery, we have a certain number of personnel that need to be on station. Period, and whether they're feeding, you know, a few extra ponds of trout or whatever, and that's always, and this got to the whole big issue that hopefully has been fixed now, the issue of, well, how do we look at the cost savings, how do we judge what 10% is, and again, and from the department's perspective, because these are active hatcheries with salmon and steelhead in them, and sometimes trout, we're not going to see a big cost savings. Really, we're going to look just to the cost savings of really just what's involved with the trout production at a facility that's already open and being worked for other species. But I'd be happy to get some further information for you, Senator, to see if we, in fact, can identify specific savings at this point and get back to you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I'm going to support the bill. A lot of political work has gone on to bring this to the point that it is today. And I think it's worthwhile to find out whether or not private hatcheries can legitimately compete. I don't know if we're anywhere near knowing that, but I think it's something worth pursuing. But it occurred to me as I was sitting here that if we're still doing the same stuff we were doing before, and we still have the same employees, and we still have the same feed bill, and we still have the same electric costs and all the rest of that, and on top of that, we're spending $279,000 to buy fish for private folks, that about all we have managed to do is take $279,000 out of ODFW's budget and move it. And perhaps their budget isn't in as bad shape as it was before. I mean, this is the second bill now that's saying we're going to earmark some money for this thing, and as opposed to just letting the agency do overall management of the stuff they're supposed to manage. So, as I said, I'm going to support the bill, but I'm hoping that somewhere in all of this, and I don't know if it needs to be a budget note or what the heck it is, that, and it probably doesn't, that LFO, as we're going through this, will pay attention to those costs. Because I don't know that it's in our best interest to simply spend more money to buy a product from somebody else when there's no cost savings to the state of Oregon. And there may very well be a way to have cost savings. Then we just haven't stumbled across it yet, and maybe there are some cost savings that the agency will discover. But I think as well as saying we can produce it cheaper than you can produce it, no, you can produce it cheaper than we can produce it, and that I've sat through, you know, you and I both sat through, and so has Senator Farioli. And I think Representative Crabb, endless discussions in SR2 about that. And I don't know anybody's going to win that battle. So I would like to know, as we start to evolve out to do these things, which may not be a bad thing to do, what are we going to be paying any less? I mean, is it going to save us some money at the same time that it's making money for the private sector?
Well, and if I might just comment on that, Senator Dukes, that was the main point of discussion in maintaining the 10% production number, because there are, you do cross over into the issue of the viability of the state hatchery system without this essentially fill-in program. Mm-hmm. But in defense of the program, the private hatcheries can respond to special needs in the system. Like, for example, with the bulk of the 10% that was purchased from the private hatcheries in the current biennium, or the biennium that we're just finishing up, went into Diamond Lake, and there was a need to put fish in that lake that were large-sized fish so that they could survive the tui chub that were in there. Right. And before they starved to death, the anglers would have a chance to catch them. So the private hatcheries were able to respond to that special need with this program, and so there is a value to it beyond the competition factor. But the points you bring up are very, very well taken points and are definitely point up the need to fine-tune the agency's bookkeeping system so that we can actually make the comparisons and continue to look at this as a pilot program. So both the 10% number and continuing it for 2 years rather than additional 4 years are our attempts to continue a real tight check on the program.
I appreciate that.
Representative Hayden.
Just a question, Madam Chair, that I don't know the answer to, but there are people on the committee that do that understand this. It seems to me like we have a situation where we have a number of state hatcheries and one or two functioning private hatcheries. Is this the mirror image? Is this the reverse of the state seedling nursery where we have one state forestry seedling nursery and a number of private nurseries that supply the trees?
I don't know that there is anyone here that can answer that.
Representative Krieger, is that right?
You have one main one at Elton.
Yeah.
They produce a lot, and we've had numerous small forest nurseries go out of business. And it's not because there hasn't been any demand, but it's pretty difficult to compete.
But there are dozens, if not hundreds, of small nurseries in the state that produce seedlings.
Of different sizes. Yeah. Yeah. Not so much for forestry. I mean, some forestry ones, but other types of seedlings too.
Yeah. So I think the issue is not unique. It occurs in other industries too. You know, who's the dominant force in this particular industry, and who has the monopoly or near monopoly, and who doesn't? In this particular case, it appears the state has the near monopoly, and private industry would like a little piece of the action. In the other case, private industry has a near monopoly, and the state tries to stay in the action. So I guess in the big picture, it works out.
And if there are no further comments, I will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 3334.
Madam Chairman, I've moved the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3334.
We have a motion to move the dash 2 amendments in House Bill 3334. Is there a discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is passed.
Madam Chairman, I would move House Bill 3334 as amended to the full ways and means of the pass recommendation.
We have a motion to amend or to move the amended version of 3334 to full with the do pass. Is there discussion on the motion? Objections to the motion. Without objection, the motion is passed. I would ask Representative Butler to carry this on the House floor and in the full committee. And Senator Dukes, if you would be so kind to do it in the Senate.
Sure.
Do we have an update on our schedule? My understanding is that tomorrow will be taken up with the Department of Forestry budget. So if people would be punctual, more so than I was this morning.
more.
I apologize.
And having no further business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned.